Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. Assalamu alaikum. I welcome you all, my brothers, sisters, friends, and family, to a program. We welcome you to inheriting the power of mental freedom. This is an information-rich program that's broadcasted each week on AM 360. AM 360 is the broadcast by which we have 7 days a week. And for the listening audience, it's one of those shows you can continue to listen to and get great information from. So we welcome you here this evening. I am Imam Shahid Abdullah, African, Bilali, and American Griot, and I host this program of the enrichment, for the enrichment that's aired every Tuesday here on AM 360 from 5 to 7 time. During the program, you will have the opportunity to ask questions and make comments. As guests of our show, listeners on our show, we eagerly ask you to make comments and also to ask questions. Only thing we really ask, we ask you to be mindful of the time because we don't have but a certain period by which to get through all of our information and have all our guests and listeners participate. So just be mindful of the time when you are making comments and when you're asking questions. Be.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-wise, your conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Greetings again, my beloved brothers and sisters. We are beginning from the we left off in terms of the program. I want you to, those of you who've been listening to the program for the last month, on the month of February, African American Cultural Month, you are well aware that we had a particular program that we were broadcasting in regards to African-American culture. We want to sort of keep that in line, but this month, as you know, is recognizing the woman of America. We want to keep in contact with that. This march is for that reason. And we're going to have guests who expressed that position in terms of the woman and relationship to the men. We don't have in this country a program yet, a system yet by which we recognize both male and female as the beginning and end product of human society. We will probably have on this program here on inheriting the power of mental freedom of that subject and bringing to light the constant awareness of the existence of the human being as being one with the power to multiply. It's a very important subject and it's very timely that we're going to bring that up. But this month we're recognizing females, the women of America, and the achievements they have made. And we recognize them as mothers and daughters and niece and all of the sisters. We recognize them all because it's very important that the role that the women can become part. The women is the only portion of the human being, which is the male and female, is the part that her role as a woman graduates into her role as a mother, slightly different than the male's role as it graduates from the male into a husband and father role. Both roles are important, but the woman's role is almost like a double role. It nourishes and is responsible for carrying life and is responsible for nourishing life, whereas the male is primarily responsible for protecting life and sheltering life, which is two parts that work together. But the woman's role is as a nurturing role, shapes the mind and shapes the beginning of life. And the beginning of life in our creation is very, very important because sometimes if you start out wrong, you end up wrong. But if you start out right, you end up right. And the female has that first opportunity to cause life to begin right. And that is so important for the male and female. This is not just something that a male should take into recognition, but it should be females should recognize that position as much as the male and see how important her position is as a male, as a female, and then as a mother. And we shouldn't take that role just because it happens to happen to us. We shouldn't take that role as something passing by, so we have children and we raise children. We should see that role more as the beginning, development, and the personification of life, how life evolves. And we are at that beginning. We are in terms of producers, and we're in terms of having that life preserved and prepared by women. That brings us to our primary subject this evening. We want to let you know this week, this subject today, we're going to have a guest on today, and our guest is going to be bringing us up to date, not as much as just a social kind of a situation with the woman's role, but more about actually what she is actually doing in the society, her role as a business person, how she's utilized her skills and ability to become a provider for herself and family and friends in many ways. So we're going to have her on. It's, her business is one of the businesses that is a design business, RB Graphic and Designs. And her name is Ricky Barnes. And she's going to explain it to you what her business is about. And it's a very impacting business, and you're going to really get a lot from this. But before she comes on, we want to say just a few words relevant to our existence as African-American people. It's so important that we begin to look at the seriousness of who we are and how we got here and the importance of learning about ourselves and our culture. Many times we have been so bombarded the negative aspect of the African-Americans' existence that we almost lose touch with the importance of our culture, the importance of our history. Some even think they don't want to hear anymore about the African-American culture. Don't want to hear anymore about our history because they feel as though they've heard it all. But really what they're saying subconsciously is not that they heard it all, because I research it, and I haven't heard it all. Over 15, 20 years, I still haven't heard it all. So many researchers and scientists will say the same thing. But it's because we have been beat so much with the negative aspect of what happened during slavery time and what is happening today, and every chance the culture gets it, it puts a negative, what they call a black eye, on our history. And no one wants to go through history with a black eye. So in order to correct the situation in America, in order to correct our position in America, we must put some work in. The African-American people must put some work in. We cannot allow or cannot wait until the European-American wakes up enough to put the proper work in to cause the African-American people to get this level playing field, to be on the same level playing field that all other civilizations are on. The one major factor that is missing from the African-American community is our knowledge and understanding of our culture. Most of us have no idea we have a culture. And the other portion of us think our culture is street culture. We think it's a black culture. They have no idea how a culture has evolved and how it is sustained by the participation of the people of that culture. And another point we have very little knowledge of is that the culture is the incubator for progress. The progress you see the German Americans making, the Irish American making, the Italian Americans making, the Chinese Americans making, and the Pakistani Americans making, that progress is because of the culture they come from. They didn't just suddenly come into America and stumble into progress. The Chinese didn't come into America and stumble into how to make French fried rice, shrimp fried rice. It wasn't a mistake. There's no mistake that the German population is one of the best at making steel here in America. That's not a mistake. Every culture we see in America has come into America with that culture. They came into America with the culture from their homeland, and they were able to find the freedom and opportunity in America to build on that culture, to make the culture profitable for the people, to make the people inherently akin freedom of thinking, the mental freedom that comes from inheriting the power of mental freedom. And this is what every culture does. And this is why when you may be on the street and meet someone who's been in the country 12, 15 years, and they still don't speak the English language well. They speak their own mother tongue very well. There are parts in New York where the Yiddish community, the Jewish community, they hardly ever speak an English word because everything they need is within that community. Everything they need, from education to worship to making clothes to all of the foods they need, is within that culture. And they only need to talk in their own language and communicate. And what a language does for people, it solidifies their consciousness. A language solidifies the consciousness of the people. And this is why they don't get rid of their languages. This is why when the Spanish-speaking people, not just the Colombians, not just the Mexicans, but the Spanish-speaking people, they push in America and all over America to have everything converted into their language because they know the power of language. They know that the language seals, it cements, it glues together the people, the consciousness of the people. And without that consciousness, they can be misled by any kind of group or any kind of philosophy that comes along. As a man once said that, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. That's an old saying. Correct. If we don't have a cultural identity, then the identity that they give us is what causes us to respond, in the way we are responding in this world today. We don't get these habits. We weren't born with these bad habits. We weren't born with they would call inferior position. We weren't born with these traits. In fact, these traits are manufactured. They are not really traits that's built in the people or in their culture. One of our great writers wrote that the miseducation of the Negro. See, many of us have read that book, and many of us have taken that book as a good book, opening up the thinking and mind of the people, but we don't take it in consideration that the book is really talking about us. It's really talking about each and every one of us, all of you, myself, and I'm what you would call a researcher, a writer about the history, and there are many others out there, African American people, who write and research our history. They have succumbed. In fact, the succumb is not the correct word. They have been shaped. They have been shaped to think in a negative aspect or a negative way about African-American people. The average African-American people does everything that they can not to be linked to the African-American people. We would rather be called anything rather than African-American. We'd rather be called Native American. We'd rather be called European American. We'd rather be called African or Nigerian other than African American. Some of us have no idea that the African American people were created here in America. We only get that picture of the slave master beating the slave. We get that picture, a very negative picture. So we don't want to know who we are. And the power that push, the power that causes a community to go forward is the knowledge of themselves. It's always been that way. This is not new. This is not new. It's not something that someone made up. Knowledge of yourself and knowledge of yourself is power. If you know who you are, you can be powerful. That's not something that just was made up. That has been true through history since man has been on this planet Earth thousands of years. It's always been true. Knowing oneself is power within itself, and it has the power to make an individual become part of a group and make the group want to grow and develop to itself, of itself, and for itself. That's not new. That's natural. That's created in the human being. It is called the law of survival. We always related the law of survival to an individual. But no, it's not about an individual. The law of survival is about a people, about a community. And the community has to do all of the things necessary for that community or that culture to survive. And it has to survive over a period of years, not just 10 years, not just 100 years, but thousands of years in order for it to remain that culture. And the cultures we see today, by and large, have been here for hundreds and hundreds of years. The Nigerian culture has been here. The Irish culture has been here. They all were formed from the original culture dealing with the African people, area what we call Ethiopia. That's where they first found the human remains of a human being that they dubbed the name Lucy, millions of years old, found in Africa. And the European, when they came in power, they of divinity to look like European people and painted the picture of Satan or evil to be dark. And that darkness and that negativeness that they painted has tainted the world. Do you really think that the African people suffering over in Africa today weren't great at one time? Certainly they were great. They built pyramids before the European even came out of Europe. All of that is history. Much of it is hidden, but it's still history. It is the kind of history that will help the African-American people to get a more positive identification of themselves. But that's called distant history. That history is the same history that every culture, every group on the planet can claim. A person from Siberia can claim African beginning. A person down in Argentina can claim African beginning. The Eskimo can claim African beginning. All the people can claim African beginning because that is their original home, the original place of origin for human beings. And they accept it. Those who try to work around the idea of becoming superior themselves, they try to find some kind of way to disprove that, but they can't because it's a reality. What's missing for the African-American people that we are taught that history by the European-American. We are taught that history, how the European-American conquered the African people, how the European-American conquered the Egyptian, and how the European-American has done things to all of the world and caused the world to submit to it. as a force in nature that has the power to rule, the divine power to rule, to all of the nations of the earth. They taught that to the people of the earth in order for them to survive. I was listening to a very important, it wasn't an announcement, but it was a very important point being made by a scholar, African-American scholar, who had researched the African-Americans' history and the European-American history, and she had come to the conclusion that the European-American was struggling with a situation that can cause them to become extinct. She had come to the conclusion in her research, she's a doctor trained, and her father was a doctor, her grandfather was a doctor. The doctor's running her, she's African-American, and she's passed about last year, I believe. But she's written a great deal of one of the books, and one of the theories is called the Crest Theory. You might have heard of it. It's that theory that she believes that the reason the European American practices white supremacy is because they have to do everything they can to survive, because only 10% of the planet, people on the planet Earth, are what she called white people. And the other 90% are dark people, or people of non-white. And she, in her research, states that the European is struggling a situation that they see that can cause them to become extinct. She didn't use the term European when she talked about extinction. When she talked about the extinction, she used the word white, which is a different kind of a way of looking at the situation. The idea that there's a white man or white people is a false idea. There's no such thing as a white people. There's no such thing as black people. Those are colors, and those colors exist because in 1776, the European colonist who was in America came about with the concept of divide and conquer, because the people had started to unite. The Europeans were uniting with the Africans, Native Americans. All of the groups were uniting against the leading governors of the colonies. And they had to figure out a way to separate them, other than incarcerating some. They figured out the psychological impact of convincing part of them that they were better than the other people. So what they did, they put in law. They wrote into the law, you can look up this and you will find this to be law. They put into the law that white people are people with special, not just special needs, but special privilege. They're special privilege. They have privileges that no one else in the colony has. They can carry guns. They can own land. They can vote. They can do all of those kind of things. The African was written in the law that the African could not own weapons, could not protect his family, could not bring a European to court for violating anything against the African. This was written in the colonial law. That worked. It worked to divide the people. It kept the people one from another, because the European who was part of the colonies wanted to stay privileged. And any time they denied the fact that they were called white people, they could be enslaved like the African. And this is what they didn't want to do, because they did have servants and slaves, European slaves. European being enslaved is nothing new. Europeans were enslaved before Africans were enslaved. Europeans enslaved their own people in Greece and so forth and so on. So that wasn't a new situation. But what it was, what it did do, it caused the people to begin to use white as a way of identifying people with privilege and people who were denied privilege. So the word not only caught on, it became and took the form of superiority. It took the form of, I am superior to you because of my skin color, or because of what we say my skin color is, because the skin color is not really white, but they use that as a reference. And they knew all the time, when they created this concept, this idea, that the human being, since time began, identified themselves by place of origin. Where they come from determines who they are and what they are. This was the first time in the history of man where the human being used color reference, skin color reference, to identify superiority. And then they increased that when they start to painting pictures and said those pictures were pictures of deity, of God and of Jesus and so forth and so on. Then the pictures also were light-complected, like the people they call white people. So now they connected that concept, that idea, into divinity. And that concept has been breeding and developing in the mind of the people for hundreds of years. So we've been living under this kind of a thinking for not just this modern day time, but for hundreds of years, our people have been living under this idea about white supremacy. And they spread this across the world. They didn't just stop in America. The Europeans, when they left Europe and conquered places in Africa, they didn't use terms like black and white. The Europeans are either French, German, Russian. Those are the terms they use. They use terms like Ashkenazi. They use terms like Polish. Those are the terms they use. They didn't use a term to say this term means I'm better than somebody else in terms of my skin color. When they start using terms of superiority because of their people, because of their culture, they said we're just a stronger culture, a smarter culture, but not this automatic idea about skin color. Now, some people misinterpret the idea of Negro, the word Negro, which was was the Portuguese term that they used for dark, not necessarily a black people, but dark people. And if you go into some of the stores, especially some of the Spanish stores, and look for dark chocolate, you will find Negro, the word Negro, as dark chocolate, because that's a real term for that. This idea of white supremacy was a false idea. And it not only was a false idea to impregnate the world in this subliminal aspect of incarcerating their mind in a idea, in a thought pattern that made them inferior to another group. It grew and grew and grew. But it also affected the European. It didn't just affect the other world, non-European in the world. It affected the European. The European people believe they're superior. The European people believe that they are divinely ordained to rule the world because of that concept, because they're called white people. They have to see themselves on top of the world because they, too, have to come to that idea that they are white people. And because of that, they have put together this whole scheme of racial superiority, put together this whole scheme of subliminal attack on the mind to make themselves superior to everyone else in order for them to survive. They cause war eliminate hundreds and thousands of non-Europeans because they believe that their race is in jeopardy of becoming extinct. And the ironic situation is that there's no such thing as a white race. There's just no such thing as a white race. It was made up in the colonial time. There's only human beings. The human beings come in different complexions and different cultures. You get some Europeans, they have predominantly kind of a reddish hair and freckles and green eyes. They're in the Irish category. You almost automatically know they're either from Ireland or from Germany because some cultures produce that, because the earth produced those colors. But you can't find anywhere on the planet Earth white people. Nowhere on the planet Earth will you find white people, nor can you find black people. You can go in the deepest part of Africa, and you see the skin so dark, it might even have a bluish tint or reddish tint. But it still projects the reality of being human, and the human comes in different complexions. And what's most important, we have to begin to see the European as a European. And the only way we can begin to get out this idea of miseducation of the so-called Negro, the only way we can get that out is by changing it in our mind. I'm not sure if I got the right number. Okay. So in conclusion on that, before we bring on our guests, this is something we have to master ourselves. We're going to have to master the idea of not calling the European-American white, not calling the European white, not calling ourselves black. Our forefathers called themselves the first known name we knew in America after we came out of Africa. The first known was Geechee, and then they put that together as Gullah Geechee. They created that. The European didn't create that name. They created it. They got it from the name of a river called the Ogeechee River down in Georgia. And then the second terminology our foreparents did and start to use was in 1783. They called themselves African American. They called themselves African because of all of they was primarily descendants from Africa. They didn't all know what part of Africa, didn't know what tribe of Africa, but they knew it was from that continent. So they took the whole continent as their place of origin, and their political identity came in America because they fought alongside of the European American for the freedom against Great Britain. They fought against Great Britain, and they won their freedom, and that was the time in which our forefathers, our foreparents, called themselves African American. It's written in a document called the Sermon of the Capture of General Cornwallis by an African American, done in 1780. It's actually done in 1782, but in 1783 is when it was read. If we honor our own evolution, the strength will begin to come into us. The strength of working together will come into us. The progress will just automatically come into us once we realize and identify with our own culture. There's just no way to stop that energy, to stop that power. There's no way for no people can stop the power of another people rising in their culture. And this is how all civilizations have evolved. So we're going to take a few minutes to for any comments or questions, and then we're bringing on our guest this evening to take us further into the program. So if you have any questions or comments, just push the one on your phone, and I can see and bring you into the queue. Okay, I don't see any. So let's take a I don't see any hands up. All right, let's take a short pause, and then we'll be right back with our guests.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Are we going to bring on our guests to kick off the women, honoring the women in America this month? And as I mentioned earlier, her name is Ricky Bonds, and she is the business owner of RB Graphic and Design, and has provided a wide variety which provide a wide variety of graphic services, and since early 2000s. Although Ricky received her formal graphic education from Kane University, which culminated in her graduation in 11 with a degree in visual communication, Ricky's talents started as a young as 2 years old, where she her interest grew in arts and in drawing as a very young person. So this is going to be a very interesting talk with Ricky Bonds. She has worked with many different clients. She has created flyers, logos, websites, programs for the different organizations and businesses or different clients primarily. In addition to the graphic work for her marketing and her personal work, she has designed clothing, custom folds, and for DIY crafts, photography, videography, painting, murals, and typography. Ricky has was named by her, this is interesting. It's very interesting to know this. Ricky was named by her great aunt with a name that is so unique and special. It's only fair to say that this is the character. It matches the character. When Ricky's isn't doing graphic designing, she is singing in the karaoke and performing events as a member of the Grammy Award-winning group, Reverend Steph's Jubilation, and having and being a wife and mother of a 10-year-old son, and working on she's working on launching her first R&B single titled Cold Sweat. So, Miss Bonds, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, you're clear. You have a lot here. We want to hear some of what you've done, and and give us some idea about who you are and what you're doing, and pretty much. Why don't we just start from the beginning and give you the opportunity to feel your way through before we ask you some of our questions. So tell us something about yourself.
Oh, well, first off, greetings to you, Ms. Shaheed, and to all of your listeners. It's a pleasure and honor to be on your show again, actually, and it is an honor. I'm not Muslim, but I am Christian, so I first off would like to really give an honor to God, who without all of this would not be possible. So I am just very thankful and just giving God all the honor and glory for this moment, because I wouldn't have this talent if it wasn't for the Lord. And I want to publicly thank you for this opportunity during this month of Women's History, for you recognizing and extending this to me. So I appreciate this and really thank you for this opportunity, sir. So now, on to this. A little bit about myself. Yes, drawing since two. it seems to be something that is unbelievable, but it is what it is. And so that's why you give all the praises to the Lord for a talent like this, because it's not of my own. And that's where it all comes from. So the interest in the arts has always been, that's how I look at it. But later in life, I like to say the interest had developed more came after the degree, where I wanted to more so give back because of all of the education that I received. Although I knew how to draw and although I was doing a lot for people before I went to school, I was doing work and graphics for different businesses and companies before getting the degree. It was after I went to school and got the education that the opportunities that were given to me, I wanted to give that opportunity to someone else, and it helped me understand how to turn that around and give the opportunities for other people who are wanting to branch out and do the same things that I'm doing, because I'm not the only business person out there. Other people want to be in that sort of thing as well. Probably not graphic design, probably in other things. Business owners, they're climbing the ladder just like other business owners, so it doesn't matter what line of work you're going into, I believe. Everyone is climbing the ladder. So there's tick boxes that has to be on the list. And whatever assistance that other people have already crossed over and done, that they can provide the next person coming up, I think that that is a blessing that that person can offer another person. And I think that I believe that is a role that I should be honored to step in to do, to be for the next for the next legacy of people that come behind me, is to be that provider. If I come and I succeed, then I want the next person behind me to succeed. They should be able to succeed as well. So later on, after graduating college, I wanted to further my business by giving back and assisting other kids in college by allowing them to intern with me to help them out by volunteering, doing vacation Bible schools for people, doing arts and crafts for different people. And those things actually help me in the long run. Mm. It helped give me creative ideas for future branding and future ideas for different marketing brands that I want to build in the future. And it gives other people gifts. So people benefit by getting gifts at the end of the day. And for me, it builds up a new branding idea on my end. As far as about my business nature, I'm sorry.
I was going to ask you, I don't want you to get away from this, but I do want you to put everything you you seem to given us a lot here in terms of getting started and developing. How did you find the time for all of the things that you have, like the Grammy, singing with the Grammy Award winning group, Reverend Steph, the Jubilation? How did that come about in the midst of all of the other things you were doing?
That's a really good question. That's a great question. I never planned to join Reverend Steph in Jubilation. I knew Reverend Steph from being in another recording group called Beverly Bundy Collins and Kerygma, and I knew Reverend Steph through there. I attend First Baptist Church of Lincoln Gardens, if there's anyone that's on your call who goes to First Baptist Church of Lincoln Gardens in Somerset, Jersey. Hello. It is a great church. If anyone's interested in going there, it's a wonderful church in Somerset. Great people there. But Kerygma is a recording group that was there, and I met Reverend Steph through there. Now, she's been existing forever and had her group, and we collaborate with music and so forth, and she's a dynamic director and former teacher and everything. And by happenstance, one of our
now, you know,
members.
You know that,
I'm sorry.
You know who Reverend Steph is. I know who Reverend Steph is, but many of my listeners might not know who the Jubilations are, Reverend Steph. Why is that so? Why is that so? And how does she go about getting you as part of that? It's more than just a group. It says award-winning group, but
Grammy award-winning group. Yes.
That,
so for those of you,
tell us about this. Because we have in our community, we have Wale Ali, we have different other people we look at as great music presenters. Because you know, music is part of the tradition of African American people. As we moved up from the South, then we developed our skills. Music was one of those basic skills, that even from jazz to from blues and even gospel, all of that was formed by our what you would call our emotional aspect, and just more, not just emotional but intellectual too. Tell us a little bit about what does it mean for being part of this group, and what is this group relevant to the groups in the world?
Well, okay. Number one, all right. So Reverend Steph and Jubilation, they started off at New Jersey TAC in Newark, New Jersey, in the late 90s. they were part and established by New Jersey PAC. So anyone who, I'm not sure if your listeners are mostly based out of New Jersey, but if for those of you that are based out of New Jersey, then you would know New Jersey PAC. So the New Jersey PAC had a choir, had a group, and they had to audition. And this group was formed with Reverend Steph. And these people had to audition. It was a massive group. And they sang with a number of great, great people. After some time and some years, they branched off and they became Reverend Steph and Jubilation. I did not join until 2010. And again, another person told Reverend Steph about me, not knowing that I knew her already. And she came and told my choir member friend told me that, hey, I told Reverend Steph that about you, and so she said to come in audition. I'm like, who told you to tell her? And she didn't know that I knew her already. So I went to tell her. It's very intimidating for me to go. I went with all my artwork because I've done artwork for Reverend Steph, and I just knew that I wasn't going to get in the group. So I took all my artwork, and I said, hey, you know, if I don't get in this group, I'm very happy to do any of your artwork for the group. But thanks be to God, I got in. And I've been there since 2010. But they are a dynamic group. They've sang with Ray Charles. They sang many other groups. They sang in Japan and South America. They've sang in Japan a number of times. Reverend Steph's music has been played in Italy. And you can see them on YouTube. You can look up. Put in Rev Steph, S-T-E-F, and Jubilation, and put it in YouTube, and you will get a wide variety of songs. Hit play and be blessed and highly favored.
A lot of the listeners on this program, if they recall, They remember that Reverend Steph was on this program with her Juneteenth announcement that she was she had a special program about her preparing for Juneteenth, and she was on this program.
Yes, which is happening this year. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, so they're somewhat aware of her. In terms of her personality being on the show, but she didn't go into too much about what you're letting us know, how they're recognized throughout the world for this singing. Because, see, we all, African-Americans, all take a share in the music that evolved from our people. And it just identifies the quality that we have as a people in terms of our characters and ability to do things. But what I would like to know is that, for you to just give us a few words on, is the cross between, and I know that this is possible because we've seen it happen, between you singing with Reverend Steph, which is a particular type of music and beautiful, and going over to, now you're doing your first R&B single title, Cold Sweat, which is a different approach to music, I would say. How would you do that?
It's a different genre. This is an R&B. So the my song Cold Sweat. Don't let the words fool you. The title, the meaning of the song is very very sweet and innocent. Even though it says Cold Sweat, and I think James Brown has a Cold Sweat song and somewhere a title or something, but it's a very innocent song. It's a crush song. The song is it's very unique actually. I'm a songwriter, and the reason why the song came up in particular is I wrote the song some time ago, back in the late 90s, and most of the time, the songs that I've written, they kind of come quickly. This is the first song and the only song where the lyrics happened after years. So the first verse came in the 90s and the second verse came in 2018. And so one day after rehearsal, I went to Reverend Steph and I sang it to her because I knew that she would be honest with me and tell me what I should do. And she suggested that I should put this song out. And here's where we are now.
Okay, so that sort of like blends all that together, because I see that we have that ability to go from one genre to the other. We've shown that in our history. Now, did doing this, how did that get in? I think you mentioned something about your business. You were connected with Reverend Steph through your business because you do, I guess, layouts of flyers and things of that nature, and you was doing
yes.
work for her. That's how your real connection was made, to do your business?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So while being with Kerygma, I designed the CD cover for Kerygma, and through meeting Reverend Steph, I designed CD cover for one of her groups, Youth Cavalcade for Christ, and I've designed lots of other flyers and such. And this is all before my RB graphic and design. So I've been doing graphic work for over 40 years before the RB graphic and design business ever started. So it just all came about in the early 2000s, the RB graphic and design, the business itself. But doing the graphic work and just drawing for people and flyers and such and design work, that's always happened.
So we're at the point now. We're here today with Ricky Barnes. Oh, well, you didn't tell when you come back. We want to just let the listeners know they can ask questions and make comments. Those of you who would like to ask our guests a question, you can do so by the raising of your hand, and that means that you push the one on your phone, and I'll see you. Then you can come in and ask the question or make a comment relevant to our guest tonight. So you could push the one on your phone and come in. If not, we'd like to. We have a number of people on, so don't wait to the end of the program to ask a question. People do that so often. But at any rate, let us take a quick break here, Ricky, and we'll get back to your business, okay?
Sure.
All right. Okay, we've got Ramadan is approaching us now. We want this.
Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for supporting the CWSC AM 360 annual Ramadan Telethon, which helps us financially secure our intelligentsia operations. And some of those operations are as follows: the American Muslim 360 Broadcasting Network, Speakers Bureau, Online National Resource Directory, Volunteer Human Resource Network, the Think Tank, College Scholarship Program, Teams, working together, such as with the Learning Lab, Intrafaith and Interfaith Collaborative, Internship and Leadership Development Programs, ambassador programs, and international collaboratives. Please visit us online to see more of the Intelligencer and the annual report. For your mailing in your donation, you can send it to CWSC Inc., Marina Village, 4905 34th Street South, number 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Make your check or money order payable to CWSC, Inc. Thank you, and stay tuned for more information on the Ramadan Telethon.
Yes, we're going to, they do a lot of interfaith work in our community. And I was wondering, Ricky, since we're talking about Reverend Steph, what kind of relationship do you, I know she's not, you attend church, you both don't attend the same church, I don't, yes, I'm gathering here, but the interfaith relationship between the churches and the synagogues and the Muslims, the masjids, how is that going? Is that going, or does that ever come up?
Does it ever come up?
Yes.
Yes, it does. And we do get together, all of us, every so often we do. It's not a frequent, but what we do and we have. So as far as any other information about it that can be given, I don't have, personally, I don't have any that I can provide online right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, if any interested, you could always contact me or contact the AM360. Actually, was done through. I was curious I asked that question out of curiosity because the African American people suffer most from lack of collaboration with one another, and if we remain in the different religions in such a form that we're not collaborating with each other, then those religions, no matter what they are, don't serve the purpose of those religions, because most of them say that it's to bring people together. Most of them say to bring man into one thing. So if it's not being worked on by the people within the groups, different groups, none doing more or less than the other, just an observation I'm making here, it appears that some effort could be made with the churches and the masjids and the synagogues, because we have a lot of black Israelites, and especially on the East Coast, in North Carolina. If any of you out there are interested in doing more or knowing more about how we can relate to one another, especially African Americans, not necessarily talking about any other group other than African Americans, those who came through the slavery, came through that, who survived and who were made during that particular time, our foreparents, who came through that era and up until now. It could be both parents, one parent could just, as long as it's a connection. We're trying to first, as they say, clean house before we let guests in. If you do have any ideas, you can always call me at area code 908-296-2558, or you can call directly AM360 at Blog Talk Radio at the 515-605-9398-91. And express your ideas there, and I'm sure they will get you to the right people making the connections. Sometimes things start small, and sometimes they're big, and sometimes they're in motion. We just have to sort of make it work. Ricky, I know that wasn't why we invited you on the program today, but talk about that aspect of it. But we all are part of everything. Give us a little bit more on how what you do can help the listeners. The listeners probably have different businesses and different walks of life. Some are doing things with children. Some are doing things with the adults, seniors, and so forth and so on. How could you, your skill, and I'm sure we're going to hear from your cold sweat sometime soon, but tell us about your graphic design, how that can best help our listeners.
Well, one of the things about my business that separates me from, I guess, a brick and mortar or other graphic businesses, the one great thing about graphic art is that it's necessary in this world. We need graphic work, graphic arts here. You need to have some sort of visual communications or visual design in life here. You need that to, number one, to communicate. You need identity. You need branding. And it's not just for businesses. You need that personally for yourself. The thing about me and the thing about my business is I cater to everybody. I cater to big businesses. I cater to schools. I cater to nonprofits. I cater to organizations, small and new businesses, individuals. It doesn't matter. I'm sort of the Burger King, have it your way, that type of person. I like to be that type of that person that separates from other businesses. And I think that that would be an advice to give people who are starting a new business. If you want to separate yourself from businesses that are widely used or competitive, to separate yourself from other businesses is to find something to separate yourself from them. And the one thing that I do with my business as far as graphics, because there's lots of people that know how to draw. I'm not the only person that knows how to draw. My son actually knows how to draw very well. He's 10. I'm not the only one that knows how to do graphics. So the one thing that I do is it's the passion that's behind it. And I'm glad that Mr. Shahid mentioned about my name and that characteristic about it. There's something about me that's unique that goes with that name. And so I'm driven by it. And I have to separate that unique part of it and the passion that's in that, and the passion that's in the work of the graphic stuff. And you have to love what you do. You have to really love what you do, because there are going to be some hard times, there's going to be some bad times, there's going to be some hiccups that you're going to have to crawl yourself through, and it's going to be some rough days. And if you don't like it or love what you do, you might want to quit. And for me, one thing, an example that I would say of how does it help people, I would say one thing that I do is I do obituaries. A lot of people don't like to talk about obituaries, but they're very important. They're not as important when you're thinking about it at that time, because you're doing like the whole funeral stuff and the finances, and the last thing you're really thinking about is an obituary. But the obituary is very important at the very end of the day, and it's very important when your cousins and your aunt and everybody else want a piece of the program, and you don't have any more programs left over, and everyone wants a program, and then they become very, very important. I have become very, very skilled on doing obituaries down to almost a science. And I've developed a way where I work with families to create a custom program, even beyond like what different companies would do, and go one step beyond where I would do the program, they'll have it printed, and then I will hand make a program just for the immediate family because they're in the time of mourning. And at that moment in time, the last thing they're thinking about is a program. They're thinking about their family. But a graphic design company, when they're designing these things, they're not really thinking about that. They're not thinking about what the family is going through. They're just creating the design and getting that out. I'm thinking about the family. I'm thinking about the whole process and what they're going through. They're just thinking about the finished product. I'm going beyond that. And then I'm creating something customized for just the immediate family so that after everything is said and done, they get something personal just for them. And I started that off after my cousin passed away. And I did that, and I just started doing that for different families going forward. And the amount of the just the love and the appreciation from the families surpassed any amount of money that I could get. And by the way, speaking of money, any obituaries that I've done, I've never asked for any money. I accept only a love offering. So that's how I work with obituaries. And that's what separates me as far as my business. And that's what it's the passion behind it. And that's what helps the people.
So that's
just
what about weddings?
Weddings.
What about weddings?
I've done weddings. I've done favors, like the wedding favors and invitations. I've done those.
What about business cards and things of that nature?
I've done business cards. You name it, I've done it.
So if a person would like a business card to define their business. What else goes along with when a person's going into business? What are some of the things they need, like letterheads and business cards or things that you do that you could provide?
One of the things, if a person is starting a business for the first time, one thing they more than likely would need is a logo. If you don't have a brand, you would want to build up your brand. A logo is a great start. I am a big component of logos, and I love to walk people through logos. I am a master of logos because I was taught by some of the best professors at Kane University. KU. By the best professors at Kane University, and we went through all of everything. So I know nothing but the best as far as logos. But you have to know what you know, and just guiding a person through everything and through how they need to build themselves up, and it's not trying to not taking them out of their dream, but helping them soar beyond and go even further and helping them go through and further on beyond even further than what they even imagined. And that's where I come in.
In doing the logos and things of that nature. What I had a question in mind, but are there any questions or comments from any of the listeners? All you do is push the one on your phone, and you could come into the queue and ask questions, and I'll make comments. I want to remind those who are just coming in or have been here for a minute, and we haven't made an announcement, that you're listening to AM 360, and that this show is called Inheriting the Power of Mental Freedom. And I am your host, Imam Shahid Abdullah, African-American Iranian and Griot, who see you to each Tuesday at from five to seven with a guest and some comments we make of our own about the African-American culture, and help each of us to bring a greater consciousness to our existence and things that we can do to better our conditions in America and the world. We're going to take a question. Do you mind if we take a question here, do you, Ricky?
Sure.
Okay, because I wanted to ask you about your name before you leave. We're going to get out of time here for a minute. Okay, area code 773.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Vera Muhammad Shahid. I'm just really enjoying this program. The sister, she is so giving and so talented. God has really blessed her with so many talents. And when she speaks so freely and so giving. And I'm a person that's striving to go into business. And I'm inspired by your spirit. You know, and I wanted to know if you would leave a contact number before you go so we can reach out to you and say thank you.
Absolutely.
Assalamualaikum.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Oh, yes, absolutely. So I'm going to do this slow. I'm going to give an email and my phone number, if I may.
You
want
to do that now? You want to give it?
Yes,
I'm going to do it later, but you do it now. Do it now.
Oh, yes.
Sounds
so
good.
I have a Gmail account, so you can reach me. It's going to be R as in Richard, F as in Frank, O, N as in Nancy, D as in David, REN@gmail.com. So that's rfondren@gmail.com. Fondren is my maiden name. It's a German name, sorry. So rfondren@gmail.com. And my phone number, I can be reached at 908-884-0782. And that's RB Graphic and Design. And my name is Ricky.
You say R-N-G.
Could you spell that Ricky for us?
It's R-I-Q-U-I. That's my name.
And what was the name of your company again?
RB Graphic and Design. That's an ampersand.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Any other questions before we go into our final part of the program? I don't see any other questions. Could you, that's an unusual spelling for Ricky, isn't it?
Yes, it is. My great aunt has an imagination.
Well, in that spelling, before you go into your aunt about why she did that, but in that spelling, does that make that spelling of Ricky masculine or feminine or both?
It's feminine. As far as I'm concerned, it's a feminine name, R-I-Q-U-I. That's as far as I know. I know that's my name, and no one else can be named that. That's as far as I know.
So tell us what your aunt told you about it, your great aunt.
That's pretty much it. She didn't really tell me much. I was going to be named Katrina because my sister, I have an older sister. I'm the baby. And I was going to be named Katrina, but my great aunt said no. And she said I'd be named Ricky instead. And you spelled the way that it's spelled. And you have me. And my middle name, I am named after my great-grandmother. My middle name is Ada, A-D-A. So I am Ricky Ada. Mm. And my maiden name is Fondren. That's where the Fondren comes from. So that is me. And when my single comes out, which was took some time to try to figure out how I was going to title it, because the name is spelt unusual, so not a lot of people can just pronounce it instantly when you see it. So I had to try to figure out how to write it. So it's written like it's spelt like a boy, just so people can know how to pronounce it. So the title of the single is Cold Sweat, but I'm listed as Ricky with a Q. It's Ricky with a Q. So that's how my name is titled. So it's spelt like a boy. It's the R-I-C-K-Y with a Q. So the Ricky with a Q, it's Ricky with a Q. And that's also my Instagram title, how to reach me on Instagram, Ricky with a Q.
Interesting. Okay, so give us a little idea about your goals and objectives in terms of your business aspirations and more contributions to the community in terms of your time and expertise. I know you spoke about that a moment ago. Give us a little bit about that.
Well, in addition to giving back to the community by doing internship with other students, going into graphic design and industrial designing and such, and doing volunteering work with different nonprofits, I would like to continue to always do what I'm doing as far as working with people in their needs and their budget. Because not everyone, I like working with people, not major businesses, although I've worked with major businesses. But I like working with people who are just starting or people who just have a need. I believe that graphic design and graphic work is useful no matter what the reasons are and what the purposes are, is useful for communication. And whatever the needs is, the graphic design have a solution. So I want to always be able to provide and offer my help and solutions, because this talent is not from me. This talent is from the Lord. And so I believe that I'm here for a purpose, and this purpose is to be shared with everyone else. And if these people are blessed, then those people are going to thank the Lord for it.
Mm-hmm. Again, this is for those of you who have just come in or been in for a minute and didn't hear the announcements. This is AM360, Rock Talk Radio. We're here every day, 7 days a week, starting in the morning and into late into the evenings, with different programming. And The program you're listening to now is Inheriting the Power of Mental Freedom. And I am the host of this program, and it's designed to reach the part of the African-American community that is usually either twisted or left out. History is put in a different way in history that we just don't get the full impact of the benefit that culture usually gives the people or to give the dwellers of that culture. So that's what we do here on this show. We sort of straighten out the message or straighten out the information that was given by another culture or even by our own culture. Because as we started out the program, we mentioned about how this crest theory talked about the white people, and we pointed out that because there is no white people, we should start eliminating from our vocabulary terminology that keeps us subliminally attached to a way of life that is a servant of other people. That's Francis Crist was the writer's name, Francis Crist Wellsing. She's an author, writer, has a long list of publications. You might have heard of her. She was the African-American scholar who taught at Howard University. And because of this paper that we were talking about earlier, they actually fired her. Howard University, now Howard University, as most of you know, is an African-American school, college, university, and she's African-American. And she was, they thought that she was speaking a little more than what they wanted to divulge in terms of racial relationships, which would signify to me especially, and certainly to others, that even in the midst of our own, on our own camps, in our own situations, we still are subservient to the outer community, to the outer culture, to make sure that we don't do things that change anything they have in mind and how they want to give information to the African-American people. It's something we're going to have to overcome, and that's probably our greatest enemy. Our greatest enemy is not the European-American. Our greatest enemy is the lack of knowledge. And as in the book of Hosea says, my people will perish from the lack of knowledge. That's the reality that we are living in as African-Americans. So we were here this evening, and we had a guest who was telling us about her life and her endeavors. She's a very good, great business person. Her business is graphic arts. Well, we say graphic design primarily, rather than arts. I guess she would add arts too, but it's RB Graphics and Design. Her name is Ricky Bondren Bonds, business owner. She's been telling us about her business and what she's achieved over the years and what she plans to achieve. And she, we would on a scale of 1 to 10, we would say that 10 in terms of a person who's gone into business, developed it, and is working to a brighter future. And I want to let me see if any other hands are up before we get back into. We do have another caller here. Area code 708.
Yes, good evening. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I'm enjoying the call. Just wanted to say that and join the show.
Oh, great. All right. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're certainly welcome. There's another viewer enjoying the show. So let's get back to our guest and ask her to give us some closing information, things that she's going to leave us with in order to utilize ourselves in terms of her business. And you didn't give us much of we didn't talk. You did mention about your son being able to draw. Is he on the same kind of trajectory, you would think, or do you think about that?
I'm not sure. For now, he does like to draw a lot. So I think so. He started a little later in life than I did, but he's amazing with it. And he has a lot more. It's a lot more technology that's available than what we've had when I was younger. Absolutely, but he definitely enjoys it, and so I encourage him to keep developing it. So far, so good, but I don't know. Whatever he wants to do, we're going to support what he likes to do.
You know, usually when you find a business, family business, and this is the husband, he usually gets support from the children and of course his wife. How is that with you? You have a family. You went to college and finished that. You're in business. Gospel group. Well, I don't think Reverend Stephanie called it gospel music, or does she?
Gospel contemporary.
Okay.
Gospel and contemporary. We do it all.
Oh, okay. And then you have this coming out, the one coming out, the Rhythm and Blues. That is Rhythm and Blues, right?
Yes,
that's
sir.
Coming out. So how does that affect your family?
It doesn't. I know how to juggle.
Well, I guess that's what we all have to do when we have a business that requires a lot of attention. You have to be a juggler,
yes,
really.
You have to know how to multitask.
Mm-hmm.
And balance
right.
Everything together. So I'm thankful that I have a supportive family. And I know how to balance everything and adjust everything well enough. So I'm not overwhelmed, and making sure that the priority is my family. First, the priority is God. God is first. My family is second. Me and my family is second. And then everything else, it falls into place afterwards. So it all seems to work out according to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you have for the females in our listening audience in terms of business? You're dealing with family, and of course you speak about juggling, how does that? Do you have any message for the women who may have ambitions to do something, but they have a family, or they see that as a drawback rather than something to be able to handle from their expertise? What do you have to say relevant to that? What is your message to the ambitious woman?
Okay. Well, I would say for the ambitious woman, number one, don't give up. Number two, if it's something you are passionate about,
keep that passion. Hold on to it. Never give up on it. We are strong people. We can do it. We can do the work that we can do and have the family. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can have the family and we can have a kid. We can have the food. We can have a husband. We can have a 9-to-5. We can have a separate business, and we can have a dream. And that dream can manifest. It's not just our dream. It's our ancestors' dream. We're the result of our ancestors. So it's not just us. So if we look at it as the ancestor that dreamed this, that dreamt this, and we're the result of their dream, and not just look at it as sort of a baggage on us and such an overwhelming load on our plate, and it's more so they have picked us up, and we're sort of they're pushing us along because they've done the work for us, and we're just carrying the rest of it along, and we got the dream too. Then we can go forth too because they helped us. They did the work, and so we can do it too. They have a dream. If you have a dream and you have that passion and you really have a passion to have a business, you can do it. And don't give up. Don't let nobody put you down either. And the only reason why they're putting you down is because the enemy wants you to fail. That's when you know that you're not supposed to give up. That's when you really need to go forth. That's when you know that you're supposed to go forth. It's because someone wants you to, because the enemy wants you to fail. That's when you know that you have a purpose. Don't give up. Keep pushing it because you're here for a purpose.
Right. Yes, so thank you very much, Ricky Bond.
No, thank you. And thank you to all of you there.
And we appreciate you taking the time to come on our show and tell us about yourself and giving us some hints on what we can do with our own abilities and skills that we may have and how we can work those things together. And they're not always conflicting each other, so many people think. Maybe a little tough, but if you're juggling it properly, and you are a testimony that can be done, that proper handling, and love your family, your work, and your life. And I want to thank you so much for coming on. And I want to remind our listeners, too, and then I want you to close out, Ricky, with how we can get in touch with you. I want to remind you that the program following this program is Courtship and Marriage. It follows in about 10 minutes or so, 10, 15 minutes or so, and stay tuned for that. That's a very good program. It talks about courtships and marriage. As you know, most of you, how important marriage is for human development. It's part of our progressive and directive meaning for life. Marriage is part of that. Marriage is part of that solidification of the male and female committing themselves to go forward in life. So the program coming up is a good program, courtship and marriage, and stay tuned to listen to that. I want to remind you, too, that we're here every Tuesday this is AM 360, and we're here every Tuesday inheriting the power of mental freedom from 5 to 7. At this time, we have guests, like our dynamic guests we had today. We have other times we may have just subject matter dealing with the time in which we are in. You can look forward to us having more of the female on this month. But we do have some brothers who are scheduled. We have one who's going to come on and talk with us about reparation. He's not pulling any punches about this. So if you tune in for that program, you're going to be getting it straightforward from him about his views on reparation and what he thinks has to be done and those who he's with. That's going to be a dynamic program. We may even have that next week, but we probably try to put that on the outside of Women's History Month. But he's always so – we've got him sort of penciled in, but we may looking at my list here. We have I definitely wanted to get him in, but we just may push it to the end of the month and do that after March. It's a dynamic point of view on this reparation idea. It's quick to say, yes, we want the money. We want the money. It's quick to say. But at the same time, what are we giving up? Because our history shows us that the European American hasn't done us any favors. The European American, from day one, we won our freedom from Great Britain, and they went to work and wrote up the Constitution of the United States of America to deny us the right to vote. And we had won that right 10 years before during the Revolutionary War. The Revolutionary War, when we fought it with the Declaration of Independence, we won that right to vote. We won that right to be a participant in the growth and development of America. But yet, when they got together and wrote up the Constitution, they did it behind closed doors, and they put in the Constitution about the Africans who could not vote. See, so we know what they can do. And so this idea about reparation, we're just going to have to have our eyes open, and we're going to have to do some deep studying, because this European American has a record of deceiving and tricking people and manipulating for their own benefit. And the Native American who was here, if you can find any who are left, they could tell you what to expect from the European American. Now, all of them are not like that. But not enough of them are against it. And the old saying is that the only way thieves can really get over is when everybody else stays silent. So if the European American is not promoting an event or African-American situation collectively with those who can make the decisions, you can't trust them. You cannot trust them. History shows that. That's not something I'm just saying. And I have no bias against them. I have only records. I have only records, evidence, and facts. That's all I deal with in relating to people. Evidence, records, and facts. And that shows us that we must keep our eyes open, and we must pay attention to the signs we see that comes in our favor and also those who come against us. So we want to just make that note relevant to what's coming up. What you can expect I wanted to have it next week. I had planned it before, but we may not have it. But it's going to be a dynamic show when he comes on talking about reparation and talking about the situation dealing with the African-American people and what are the things we can do to make our situation better than it is and what things we have to look out for. So look for that. We're going to put the announcement out. All our shows always announce, but look for that. That's going to be a great show. But next week, we haven't decided on who we're going to have next week. We'll be here, but we most likely have a successful female who's done quite a bit. We have a list of them, so we're going to try to work this month with all female guests so they can tell us about their part in life that they're bringing joy and product and progress in. And like our guest today, Ricky Barnes. So Ricky, tell us a little bit and how we get in touch with you and give us a good idea about how we can use your skills and ability and talent.
Yes, sir. Thank you again for having me on, and I
I wish nothing but the best for all those who are starting a new business and all of their endeavors. I can be reached again in the emails at R as in Richard, F as in Frank, O, N as in Nancy, D as in David, R-E-N, at gmail.com, or you can call me at 908-884-0782. And the name of the business, again, is R as in Richard, B as in Boy, Graphics and Design. And that's ampersand, so RB Graphic and Design. My Instagram title is Ricky, R-I-C-K-Y, W, Q, so with a Q, so Ricky with a Q, which is also my tag name for my up-and-coming single entitled Cold Sweat.
That's entitled Cold Sweat, the name of the R&B
yes, single. Yes, the single, yes, sir.
Oh, I don't want to, but you can continue on. But how far are we away from that, that we could be looking forward for that
hopefully sound this box? Year. I'm hoping this mm-hmm. year. We are almost done with the music. And once we're done with the music, it's just all about rehearsing with my backup singer and going to the studio and recording the track.
You are the principal singer. You're the principal singer.
Yes, I am. I'm the lead singer, and then I have a backup singer.
Mm-hmm.
I have to do the backup voices. There's other chords and voices, and there's harmonies, and just saves time for me singing all the harmony.
Well, yeah, I would. We had a little more time to sound like a lot of effort goes into that kind of a. I mean, not to say that producing a record is not a lot of effort, but I'm saying little things that we may never think about as a person who listens to music. We may never think about what it takes to get that music to the sound.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. I mean, it's the first time I'll be doing that on my own. But, I mean, I've been in a recording studio with a group of people. It is the first time, and it's intimidating to be doing it by myself. So it's a lot to take in as a person doing it by myself. So it's a lot to take in.
It doesn't seem to be a discouraging amount because you're going forward.
I have a lot of people that are very encouraging and giving me a helpful hand and a boost, and so I'm just thankful to be around a lot of bright bulb people. That's another helpful hint. Mm-hmm. A helpful tip mm-hmm. is to be around a lot of encouraging people in your life. If you're the brightest bulb mm-hmm. in your life, you need to get around another group of bulb people. If you're the brightest
mm-hmm.
bulb, that's a good tip.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you so very much for coming on our show, and we wish you the best. And
thank you.
And may God continue to bless you and keep you well and your family well, and you keep achieving, because we need our people to be achievers and not let the false propaganda cause us not to be productive, to continue to be productive, and we have to believe that we're going to be progressive in the future, and we have a great future. So thank you once again for being on the program as we get ready here to close out. I wanted to remind those of you who have been listening, you have been listening to Inheriting the Power of Mental Freedom here at AM 360. And I am your host, Imam Shahid Abdullah, the African-American griot, and I am pleased to be your humble servant to bring you information and concepts that affect our people in the present and in the future. And some of the information that I bring is information of the past, but it's designed to affect us in the so we can benefit and move forward and enjoy our lives. I greet you all in the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. As we close out with our drummers and thank you.